Happy Monday. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Savoy, voice deity Jim Ward, for me, Stephanie Miller. All right, so as Jackie Schechter just broke at the top of the hour, we know the guy, the leaker is. His name is Edward Snowden, behind the Mannheim, the NSA leaks. 29 years old, revealed himself. You were just telling me that's kind of fascinating.
What?
He says he can literally tap anybody, including and up to the President of the United States.
That's right. He said that's what he said. Now, that goes in direct conflict with what the NSA has been saying all along.
Right.
Hello, they lied.
So we don't know who's telling the truth, but that's what Snowden says.
Right.
I believe him more than I believe.
Why?
Official NSA.
Why?
Because that's their job, is to misinform.
Yeah, he is a high school dropout.
Not necessarily.
Right. I was just going to say that. Thank
you.
Okay. He's a high school dropout who worked his way into the most secretive computers in U.S. intelligence as a defense contractor, only to blow those secrets wide open by spilling details of classified surveillance programs. He revealed himself as the source of the documents outlining a massive effort by the U.S. National Security Agency to track cell phone calls and monitor the email and internet traffic of virtually all Americans. He said he just wanted the public to know what the government was doing. We'll talk to Rude Pundit in a few minutes. He makes one point. He's like, "Hey, you're an idiot if you didn't already know this was happening."
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know,
I mean that is the Patriot Act.
Right. Well, I gotta say, I agree with what the president said. We can't have 100% security and 100% privacy. I mean, this is kind of the trade off that you have to make to some degree in society.
As long
it's a choice, as he said. You know, that we have to make. I mean, I was talking to a friend that's just as liberal as I am yesterday, and she said the same thing. Is it weird that I don't really? Jackie Schechter said that last week, that I don't care that much about this. Maybe I'm crazy.
As long as it goes through a FISA court.
Right.
That's the only caveat.
Right. Well,
if we find that some of this hasn't gone through a FISA court, I'm going to be pissed.
Right. So he said, even if you're not doing anything wrong, you're being watched and recorded. I'm just another guy who sits here day to day. This is the interview he gave overnight, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just another guy who sits there day to day in the office watching what's happening and goes, this is something that's not our place to decide. The public needs to decide whether these programs and policies are right or wrong. He fled to Hong Kong 3 weeks ago after copying one last set of documents and telling his bosses he needed to go away for medical treatment. He worked for a major U.S. government contractor in Hawaii, earning a $200,000 salary a year. He told The Guardian he never received a high school diploma, didn't complete his computer studies at community college. Wow! How do you get one of them there, fancy jobs?
Wow. Exactly.
Oh. He said he later worked as a security guard for the NSA and then took a computer security job with the CIA. I mean, that's a little stunning. He said he has access to the full rosters of everyone working at the NSA, the entire intelligence community, and undercover assets around the world.
Sounds like an Adam Sandler movie.
A little better screening of who works at the NSA. Yikes.
I see a movie starring Adam Sandler.
Some residents on Oahu are glad that he left. From a Hawaii standpoint, good riddance, thanks for leaving, someone told a CNN affiliate there. He said, I'm sure the guy had an overactive Mother Teresa gene and thought he was going to go out and save America from Americans, but in reality, he was very foolish. We expect the government to honor our privacy, but we also expect our government to protect us from terrorist attacks. And the firm he worked for said news reports that this individual has claimed to have leaked classified information are shocking and if accurate, this action represents a grave violation of the code of conduct and core values of our firm. So that's all the breaking news overnight. Mm-hmm. But, Jim, I know you and we may all differ on this, but how do you not prosecute that? I mean, how is that?
Daniel Ellsberg has a great article in the Washington Post. He says, I'm sure that President Obama would have sought a life sentence in my case for the Pentagon Papers.
But it's the law to do so. He had no choice.
That's what I mean. Do you let this guy and Bradley Manning just go, okay, well, that's all right, if you want to leak a bunch of classified information that may or may not get Americans killed. I mean, it's like, I can't.
He makes the point that we need whistleblowers. By any standard, that's what Manning should have done, so that the American public could see what we're doing over there. For them to charge him with that shows an outrageous sensibility, going after the man who exposes the war crime instead of any of the ones who actually did
this
it.
This isn't
none
a war
of whom
crime.
Were
Is this a war crime?
No, I'm talking about Bradley Manning.
Okay.
But we're talking about Snowden.
Right. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's just I think you made the cogent point, and that is if this is not done without a. I mean, wasn't that what we bitched about during the Bush administration,
yes.
right? It's warrantless.
warrantless wiretapping. If we have a warrant, then, you know, that's fine.
Yeah. You know, it's
and President Obama, candidate Obama, he campaigned on the fact that, you know, we need to be doing this with a warrant.
Right.
And so if we find out that it hasn't been done with a warrant,
I understand it's tough stuff, but, you know, my friend and I were talking yesterday, and it was like, you have to, and we admitted this on the air last week, like, if it were Bush, might we feel, probably, you know what I mean? It's just, do I inherently trust this president more? Yes. Is this still troubling and on a line that, like, I think you say, we need to know more details? Yeah, but I mean, that to me was the big thing during the Bush administration was the, you know, warrantless wiretapping.
Right.
And I remember him even saying, no, you got to get a warrant for this sort of thing. That was the whole point, is he was not, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was not.
Right.
The president, this is what I was talking about, he said over the weekend.
You can't have 100% security and also then have 100% privacy and zero inconvenience.
By the way, Facebook and Google, did you see this, using suspiciously similar language to deny giving the NSA access to servers? Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg and Google co-founder Larry Page both published statements on their respective websites on Friday, emphatically claiming they knew nothing of PRISM, in which the government says it was allowed access to servers by nine major internet companies. Neither claimed to have heard of PRISM before yesterday. In fact, they both use the exact same sentence. We haven't even heard of PRISM before yesterday. In Zuckerberg's post, Raoul Pages read, "We had not heard of a program called PRISM until yesterday." Just changed a couple of words.
Yeah.
Interesting.
What they were focusing on was about, quote-unquote, direct access. Google wrote, "We have not joined any program that would give the U.S. government or any other government direct access to our servers."
That's an interesting word.
Right. Facebook said almost a similar thing, so I'm not really certain what that means exactly.
It sounds like they were given a script to use by somebody.
Right.
Why, we have never heard of this company until just now.
PRISM, we don't know. And we have been at war with East Asia, have we not?
Yeah. There's something fishy there.
And you are...
Exactly.
And you're from...
Exactly. Well, and they, obviously, the one thing that the president and others keep repeating is that nobody's listening to calls.
Nobody is listening to your telephone calls.
Yeah, as I mentioned, people would be bored to death with mine. However,
I don't even make phone calls anymore. I just text people. That's all I do.
You know, somebody made the point yesterday, too, the people at the NSA, they said, you know, if anything, they're people that are even more aware of not overreaching or not. I mean, so you know, and I don't know to what degree that's true, but they were talking about that they're not listening to your calls,
right.
That they're trained in
but
what they're looking for.
That could change in September when that facility in Utah goes online.
Well, we don't know that. How do we know that? What's going to change and how?
That's, well.
Okay.
So you're just guessing.
No, I'm not. It's from.
It's from what? No. Substantiate your claim.
Well, I got to find that.
Okay.
All right. All right. The president, meantime.
I welcome this debate, I think it's healthy for our democracy. I think it's a sign of maturity because probably 5 years ago, 6 years ago, we might not have been having this debate.
You said somebody on Facebook, on your Facebook page, said that last week that they wondered if.
If this
leak was on purpose to have this debate, I don't know, you know.
Could be.
Interesting idea.
I hope the president leaked it so that we could have this debate because it's an important debate. And I hope it lights a fire under Congress to get rid of the most heinous parts of the Patriot Act.
Ed Snowden is the guy we were talking about, the NSA whistleblower, did an interview overnight.
My name's Ed Snowden. I'm 29 years old. I work for Booz Allen Hamilton as an infrastructure analyst for NSA in Hawaii. I, sitting at my desk, certainly had the authorities to wiretap anyone from you or your accountant to a federal judge to even the president if I had a personal email.
The president's probably like, what now? Wait a minute.
Yeah,
I didn't sign up for that.
Wait a second. Did I allow that?
Yikes.
Here he is again, Ed.
I'm just another guy who sits there day to day in the office, watches what's happening, and goes, this is something that's not our place to decide. The public needs to decide whether these programs and policies are right or wrong.
So I guess that, you know, what they're talking about is extradition, that we have, that they're not sure what's going to happen with him now or whether
right.
he's going to.
And now Iceland this morning has indicated that they would give Snowden asylum. So.
James Clapper, National Intelligence Director, yesterday.
They are under strict court supervision. I have to get strict. So the notion that we're trolling through everyone's emails and voyeuristically reading them or listening to everyone's phone calls is on its face absurd. We couldn't do it even if we wanted to, and I assure you, we don't want to.
All right.
Well, that kind of goes against what Snowden just said in that interview.
Interesting.
All right. 17 minutes after the hour. Look at that. Lots of people have opinions on this.
Imagine
who
that.
Who could have seen that coming? 17 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-1-2.
Stephanie Miller.
Friggin' A. 21 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. His rudeness, rude pundit, coming up at the bottom of the hour. We were talking about the whistleblower, NSA whistleblower, Ed Snowden.
Yes.
He hopes Hong Kong's climate of free speech will protect him, but there's no guarantee he won't be arrested, taken to mainland China, or sent back to the U.S. So that's, you know, all is breaking overnight, according to The Guardian. The only time.
Iceland, here I come.
According to The Guardian, the only time he became emotional during hours of interviews was when he thought about what might happen to his relatives, many of whom work for the U.S. government. I would argue you also could have thought of that ahead of time.
Right.
I mean, you know what I'm saying?
I mean,
it's going to be open to, obviously a lot of discussion as to whether this guy's a hero or a criminal or both to some people. Mm-hmm. I mean, James Clapper, National Intelligence Director, yesterday.
This is someone who, for whatever reason, has chosen to violate a sacred trust. For this country. The damage that these revelations incur are huge.
That's what they said about Daniel Ellsberg, too, and probably Cy Hirsch when he talked about My Lai.
Right. This is different.
Yes.
This is not war crimes. Paul in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Paul.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hello, go ahead.
I'm just wondering, everybody who's always paranoid about the federal government coming after you and this and that, on one hand, there seems to be a paradox. While they're collecting this information, why didn't they snuff out the whistleblowers before they ever got to reveal them, if they were so all-powerful and all-overreaching? Understand?
Yeah.
Well, how do you get a whistleblower before he becomes a whistleblower?
Well, again...
how do you know they're... Right.
Like they apparently didn't stop them, so apparently...
Maybe they're planned leaks. Maybe they're using them to leak certain things.
How would you know, Paul, someone's going to become a whistleblower?
Well, exactly that. So if they know everything about everybody, if they're studying everything about everybody, you know, we got two chains of thought in this country by the Rand Pauls and the and truthfully so the libertarians, so that the government is going to take over everything on the one hand, and on the other hand, they're going to come after us. But yet, they complain, too, that the government is inefficient and doesn't work. So.
Well, yeah. I mean, and, you know, speaking of libertarians, Rand Paul, as usual, just irritates the bejesus out of me because he tries to link all these things, which are not linked.
Right.
You know what I mean? Benghazi and the IRS and then this. It's just those are separate things, and most – and the first couple are nothing burgers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just – it's trying to – there are two groups of people that just want Obama bad. This is just another version of Obama bad because, you know.
Even my hardcore libertarian roommate has had it with Rand Paul. Just hates him now.
Because it's like, yes, yes, yes. No. Those last two things you said, no.
Yeah.
Rob in Washington. Hey, Rob. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing, Stephanie?
Good. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say on your topic this morning that I think this gentleman is an absolute American hero. Because the American people need to know what's going on. And the Constitution says if a law is made, meaning the Patriot Act or any of these other acts, that is unconstitutional, you do not have to follow it. That's the law. So he has not broken any laws. He is not giving out security information.
Well, Rob, wait a minute. You know, when we can debate the Patriot Act, and we certainly have on this show, but the fact is it is the law, and both parties voted this in and voted to reauthorize it. So,
Stephanie, with all due respect...
But, Rob, let me just finish. Right. That's why I'm saying it's different than war crimes. When Jim's talking about me lie or whatever, that... obviously, that's a war crime. What I'm saying is this is not... we can debate... And, you know, Chris has said this many times about that we should amend the Patriot Act or change it. But that is the law.
Well, yeah,
you can't have anarchy and not follow the law. You take this into court and have it decided in the courts. That is our system of justice.
That's why I think Jim and Chris have both said valid things. Jim said last week when they first started screaming, this is an abuse of the Patriot Act. He's like, no, it's not. This is what we agreed to. This is the Patriot Act, right?
Well, it is, ladies and gentlemen. But you know, the American people are so busy working hard and taking care of their kids. They, you know, and like you pointed out, these pages and pages and pages of laws, people don't have time to read these. In fact, you just pointed out on your show moments ago that the Patriot Act, they had it dumped on them, and they had less than 24 hours to read it. So even our elected Congress people didn't even know what they're signing.
Well, they were also...
And as Jim has said, I mean, it also was signed in a climate of fear after 9/11, a climate of fear like we've never known.
And
here,
the two guys who were authorized to investigate it before they signed onto it got anthrax letters sent to them from a domestic source.
I'm glad you guys are covering this because, listen, you know, this is the tip of the iceberg, and there is a much bigger thing going on here. Can I share it with you?
Sure.
Okay. This isn't Democrat versus Republican.
No, it's
not.
This
is not liberal versus conservative. What it is there's a war going on, an international war. And the real enemy is not Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda is a construct of the U.S. government. They work for the CIA. What this is it's
That's
a war. Let's say what it is. It's a war against the Illuminati. It's a war against the New World Order. That's what it is. And if your people would do their research, you know, quit watching the Oscars, quit watching TV, quit doing all this stuff, and start doing research.
You can do both.
Because these are indicators, Stephanie.
I blame you. I blame you, Chris. I do.
You can do both,
for watching the Oscars,
for God's sake.
And not researching the New World Order.
Sure, you can DVR it. So.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't have to tell people to stop, you know, doing stuff that's fun and just research things.
Well,
Stop doodling.
Do research.
Stop
God.
It.
God.
Lisa in Houston.
Listening to music? You're wasting time.
Stop
you should
watching,
be researching.
Stop watching that cat video.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hi, Lisa.
Okay, that guy who just finished, he got that off coast to coast, because every now and then my radio stop on that station when I want a good laugh. Look.
That's good. Could be some of the stragglers that are still up from listening to coast
still,
to coast.
You know, he done took off the little horn off his head. Look, first of all, we need to, the media, I think, is jumping the gun with this guy. This guy never said that he actually did it. He's hypothetical. I could if I wanted to. The reason he can't is because those safety nets are in place, and he couldn't do. All he's doing, guys, is looking at a database that's performing a query that's told to match a certain number, and if it matches, a bell goes off, and they look to see how long that person has been and on the phone with this person. That's all it's doing is a query, and he just happens to see that. He does not have any control because he never once listened to what he said. He didn't say it. You know, I've listened in on people's wiretaps. I've done
this. He said he could if he wanted to.
He said, I could if I want to. So the reason he can't is because there's a safeguard there. If he tried to dial somebody's number or type into that email, it's going to spit back off. It's got bells and whistles on it. Mm-hmm. But here's the other thing we need to also remember. When people say he didn't hurt anybody, you know, as shocked as we are, you know who else was shot? The terrorists. So now we got to try to figure out another way to capture them.
Well, that part was not helpful. 29 minutes after the hour. Let's see what Rude Pundit thinks next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
See, women are a lot like Saturday Night Live sketches. Lots of them are awful, some are decent, and a few are pretty good. But then there's that one. That one woman who's as amazingly perfect as Massive Head Wound Harry.
Yeah, that's right.
For me, that woman is...
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, oh, thank you. Oh.
Sweetest thing anyone's ever said about
oh,
you.
Thank you. 34.
Just like Massive Head Wound Harry.
Thanks. 34
anyway,
minutes.
I found that article from Wired Magazine from last year about the Utah data center. Under construction by contractors with top-secret clearances, the blandly named Utah Data Center is being built for the National Security Agency, a project of immense secrecy. It is the final piece in the complex puzzle assembled over the past decade. Its purpose, to intercept, decipher, analyze, and store vast swaths of the world's communications as they zap down from satellites and zip through the underground and undersea cables of international, foreign, and domestic networks. The heavily fortified $2 billion center should be up and running in September 2013. Flowing through its servers and routers and stored in near bottomless databases will be all forms of communication, including the complete contents of private emails, cell phone calls, and Google searches, as well as all sorts of personal data trails, parking receipts, travel itineraries, blah, 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 or their digital pocket letter. It is in some measure the realization of the Total Information Awareness Program created during the first term of the Bush administration, an effort that was killed by Congress in 2003 after it caused an outcry over its potential for invading American spies.
What's the source for this?
Wired Magazine.
All right.
I wonder where they got their info. Interesting.
I need to stop oversharing. That's the main thing I learned. I'm entirely too chatty in emails. All right. Let's. Rudeness wrote one of the best things I've heard about this.
Sleep up at the Rude Pundit. Pundit.
Snowden Day.
Yeah. Snowden. We're having a Snowden
We're
Day.
We're having a Snowden Day.
It's a Snowden Day. Everyone stay home. Snowden was the guy in the back of the B-25 in Catch-22 who got killed.
Ooh. Good morning, Rudeness.
How are you?
I'm good. You know, you wrote a great piece on this, and it's interesting. It's not a happy, clappy piece, but I think it's very honest. Might I quote you to you, as I'm wont to do?
Please. It's my favorite masturbatory activity.
Wow. Okay.
Wow.
Whatever floats your boat.
Well, you said, first of all, in the first place, if you didn't think that this was going on, you're blind and stupid. What's important is that we know that the order from the FISA court approved based on secret legal reasoning for secret goals exists and forces us to confront, as we must again and again, the reality of the surveillance state we now exist in. You know it's there. What are you going to do about it? And, you know, Chris, you made this point, too. I mean, you're right. We live in a post-privacy era, and try as we might, unless you're going to go Alex Jones unhinged and live off the grid, our communications are now subject to constant intrusion and scrutiny. You say... The Rude Pundit believes that he's being monitored all the time. He knows that someone he doesn't know will have access to his email, his phone calls, his texts. His movements can be tracked by cameras and satellites and the GPS and his iPhone. That every time he uses his easy pass on the road, someone knows where he is. He accepts that as part of the daily life in the West in the 21st century. I mean, obviously, you go on to say a lot more. But, you know, Chris was talking about, I mean, has that been part of this? Whether you start with reality shows and that all the kids are on social media and everyone's sharing everything all the time anyway, that's ultimately why, that this is not a big deal to us?
Well, it's one reason why I think definitely with the phone calls part of it, I think a lot of people reacted like, yeah, and I sort of assumed that,
right.
which is very sad to me that we all just sort of assumed this. I think it was Ross Douthat in the New York Times yesterday.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Wrote the thing saying, okay, you can have privacy or you can have the internet.
Right.
You know, this is the trade-off.
Right.
Nothing is private on the internet.
Right, exactly. So, to me, one of the bigger questions is how do we exist in this world now? And we haven't really come up with a way of saying, all right, what does all of this mean? The idea of the surveillance state has gotten ahead of any kind of, I don't know, theory of how we live in a post-privacy world. And it's wrestled with in a lot of ways, like on Facebook. And, you know, when you get pissed off at somebody who posts every 5 minutes on Facebook or Twitter what they're eating.
Yeah.
So is this more Orwellian or Kafkaesque? I can't decide.
Right. I mean,
it's Orwell with a soupçon of Kafka.
You know, Rude, I mean, essentially the point of your piece is just whatever side of this you're on, it's not going to change. I mean, You go on to say what the Obama administration did was completely legal. It was completely legal because the majority of the nation simply doesn't care about the vast array of powers granted to spy agencies under the Patriot Act. And that's the point I was making. We agreed to this. As Jim said, this is the Patriot Act. This is not, you say it will continue because there will be no outcry. There will be no outrage. There will merely be a Democratic apologist for the president. That would be me. Defending his actions. Republicans divided into two camps, clownish hypocrites who condemn Obama when they defended George W. Bush for doing the same thing without court approval, and slathering hawks who don't give a... I always have to have the bleep button at the ready. How many rights are trampled, or the uneasy alliance of libertarians and civil libertarians who are generally pissed off and scared by the confirmation of the secret surveillance of all of us. So it really is, that's it. It doesn't matter what side you're on, right? And there's some surprising bedfellows in this.
Right. This is not going to go away. It exists. You're not putting the horse back in the stable or the ship back in the port. It's just happened, and now we need to wrestle with it because right. There simply is no courage to. And I don't even know if you could at this point say we're going to just stop this. I don't think it can. I think right. The only things that really can, the good that I hope will come of this is that the secrecy behind it will finally be unveiled. I mean, the existence of it has been unveiled, and that the secrecy will of a great deal of it will go away. I don't think we need secrecy of, I think that there are things that can be kept secret. But we need to know what's being done with our information.
Right. And you know what? And I'll cop to it. I mean, I was saying this to my friend yesterday. We're like, honest, if this were George W. Bush, would we be going crazy? Maybe. But I also think Chris made a cogent point that part of that was without, warrants, without FISA approval. So, I think you're right. There's enough hypocrisy to go around on this issue, right? With everybody. I mean, you say, and it was interesting. You write, the rude pundit doesn't fall into any of those camps. He takes the long view backwards and forwards. Once the Patriot Act was passed and mass surveillance by the federal government was legalized, I don't think I can say that, was popped. It's a sex thing. Okay.
It's a fruit.
It's a fruit that hangs on a tree. And it makes a great pie.
Right. You can't un... the deflowered virgin. And frankly, as soon as communication shifted from type letters to whatever floats through the inner tubes or in the ether, notions of communication and privacy shifted, whether we knew it or not. Mass adoption of new technology changes human beings' relationship with the world, whether it's television's contribution to the death of other types of media and to the much of the public sphere as a place of social and political interaction, or cell phones changing how we speak and write to each other. It often takes a generation or two before we figure out just how technology has transformed things. Just in time for the new technology to change things again, of course. Yeah, exactly. That's why I stopped at 8 tracks. I'm like, you know what? Yeah. I'm not buying, because you're going to change it in a second.
Right. And, sometimes it's corporations all of a sudden getting screwed over by their own changes in technology. When we shifted from albums and cassettes to CDs, when everything became digital, well, that opened up the floodgates for the sharing of digital entertainment. And we had the rise of things like Napster, and so that was corporations changing things to technology, and then people learning how to adopt that and use it to their own purposes.
Well, you've read one of the most interesting sentences I've heard about this. You said we need a new sociological and even linguistic paradigm for understanding our relationship to each other and our government in this post-privacy era. Because as you go on to say, no president is ever going to give back the powers that were granted to George W. Bush in 2001. If you're scared that Obama has them, well, a bunch of us warned you that Bush wasn't going to be president forever. But that's exactly right. So here we are, right?
Right.
And Democrats and Republicans have reauthorized this.
That's right. And now we need to figure out, okay, now how does this change our relationship? What does this mean for the relationship between the citizen and the government? That it is simply, it is easy as the push of a button or typing a few keys that you can find out tons of information about somebody. What does that mean? I mean, how do we exist, and how do we make some kind of new social contract with the government that can help us exist in this world?
Well, you know, we've been talking about obviously reopening the debate on the Patriot Act. You say even if the Patriot Act were, through some miracle, overturned in court or legislated out of existence, it's too late. The web of surveillance has been put in place. You can bet its future legality has already been set up. You say it's a frightening thought, yes, that our responsibility as citizens is not to try to reclaim our lost privacy. What revolution will accomplish that? It ain't going to happen. It's sad, frustrating, enraging, ultimately exhausting and enervating. The boat has sailed. It ain't ever returning to port. So, I mean, that's pretty honest. You say what we're left with is merely electing people who believe will be wise shepherds of this power to invade our privacy whenever they wish to order to protect us from terrorists. And that, I mean, it goes to what the president said, right? You can't have 100% security and 100% privacy.
Right, but we can also know what's going on. And that's the thing. I think that people that are angry about this are angry because we want to know what we agreed to. You know, what was in the fine print of the contract?
Right. Well, which Michael Moore movie was it in when they say, you know, have you read the Patriot Act? They're like, no,
yeah,
we don't read the bills before
yeah.
we.
Right.
I mean,
well, read
yeah.
them. What?
Yeah.
We've got people for that.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, and the other thing I was saying is the Rand Pauls of the world. I mean, the problem is he's just going to try to. It doesn't matter what hypocrisy. He's going to tie everything together. IRS, Benghazi,
yeah.
whatever. It's all, you know, Obama overreach or whatever. Right. Or whatever kind of nefarious.
Everything yeah. is an Obama overreach. But, you know, you don't want to say you agree with Rand Paul, but I don't know that I agree that this is, I mean, there's certainly something frightening about the idea that they're just storing, what is it, I heard about that Utah facility you mentioned,
right.
that can store a trillion DVDs worth of information,
mm-hmm.
and which I bet would reach from here to the moon a few times.
Right.
Yes.
And,
right.
but, you know, that they're collecting this and storing it for some purpose in the future. And, you know, how comfortable are you with that? And can we have a debate about, okay, what do you get to do with that material? How long do you get to keep it? Do you get to keep it forever? I mean, you know, how many times do you get to search it? There's all kinds of things that I think we have a right to know because it is our information. You know, even if we don't have an expectation of privacy,
right.
we at least
should be able to access it.
Right.
Well, we should at least know the rules.
Yeah.
Well, I love how you you shot down the IRS non-scandal in one line. Congress hears from conservative groups who were forced by jackbooted IRS thugs to fill out forms. I mean, that's really what this is about, right?
They had
to fill out too many forms.
Oh, all
yeah.
those
yeah.
sad people at that hearing talking about how they were just forced to, you know, sent forms that they had 20 days to fill out. Oh, my God. After waiting for the IRS to send them something.
Apparently,
oh.
none of these people have ever bought a house.
Yeah.
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 Right. And again, you know, here we go, getting none of them were denied tax-exempt status, except for one liberal group. I mean, that's the whole there, right?
Right. And then there's the thing that just came out saying that one of the people in the Cincinnati office said, yeah, I'm the one who ordered it. I said, look
right.
at Tea Party and look at Patriot, because you know what? That's where you
that
would look.
Right, be common sense, because there's a zillion of these groups after Citizens United, and most of them are doing just political activity.
Well, and I love these groups that say, we're doing political activity, but oh no, please, don't investigate us for doing political activity.
Right, yeah, exactly. Rudeness, great stuff as usual, and I hope you enjoyed the masturbatory exercise that is me reading your column to you.
Oh, yes, I did. I don't think I can say what happened while I'm on the radio.
It must be shared with the world. It's just that good. All right. Rudeness, love you, honey. See you next week.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Go clean up.
Right, exactly. And listen, I read the part about Obama apologists, which would be me. So, hey.
Well, I mean,
I normally skip over the parts I don't like, but
yeah.
this one is a big...
This one's a tough one.
This is a big bouillabaisse.
Yeah.
It's 47 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 52 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Elaine in New Mexico thinks I'm not far enough to the left.
Okay.
Hello. Hey, Elaine, welcome.
I think you're what?
Yeah, I'm not far enough to the left, right? On this issue?
Well, I think you were during the Bush administration, which I appreciated.
Right.
And I now know it's because you trust Obama. There's three things. One,
well,
Chris
Elaine,
said...
Well, Elaine, just stop. I mean, I don't know if you heard the Rude Pundit interview. I mean, I think that I understand the hypocrisies on all sides of this, but I think that he is right, don't you? This ship, to some degree, has sailed, and I don't know what we can do about it. I mean,
well, I heard the entire interview, but
right.
I don't take that view. I mean, I think Rude Pundit. I really love the Rude Pundit, but I think he's. I think this can be curbed to some extent. And one of the big things about this, Chris said, if a FISA court is looking at it, then that's all I care about. And I mean, I agree. I want a court to be looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
The FISA court, though, is basically a rubber stamp for the government. I think maybe there's one instance of a time when they turned down the government. And when you go to that court, the government is the only one arguing. There's no one arguing on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an issue, that the FISA court is pretty much a rubber stamp for the government. And,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, and it's the only thing we have. Another issue is everybody keeps saying it's legal, it's legal, it's legal. There was a very well-known trusted Democratic president, Franklin Roosevelt, who interned the Japanese.
Right.
And that was all legal. And the Supreme Court ruled that the internment of the Japanese was legal.
No, you know, Elaine, I think your point is sometimes things that are legal are not necessarily morally right. I mean, look, you can see how our show breaks down. Jim has more of a, you know, mistrust of government, period.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're right. To me, it depends on who's running the government. It's you know,
sure.
when the Republicans say, you know, FEMA doesn't work, it's like, well, no, it didn't work under George Bush.
Exactly.
It did
and
under
I'm
Clinton.
And I'm not making that argument. And it really bugs me that Rand Paul and all these other people are trying to roll this all into the whole IRS.
Yeah.
Right.
That's insane.
For me, insane. And that's not what the point is. And because obviously, I'm a leftist. The other thing that's really scary about this is that everybody, also to the legality, is that the ACLU for years has been trying to challenge this in court, and every time they get to a point to basically to challenge the constitutionality of it, because even though it's legal, some people don't think it's constitutional.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
It's not gone up to court, the Obama administration has blocked it because of secrecy. Basically, it's
mm-hmm.
classified. We can't tell you who we're watching.
Right.
So basically, if they're so sure that it's legal and constitutional, and I understand things are classified, there's classified information, we don't want to give away secrets,
right.
But it's not true that we've actually had a debate, even a legal debate, about whether, if it's continually being blocked because the information is secret and it's classified and blah, 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 you know, so we need
sometimes
to
it's
know.
Just embarrassing, and yeah.
Exactly. So I just...
Yeah, well, you know what it is, Elaine? It's because, you know, like Chris is, you know, has said before, well, they see information, meaning the president, obviously these, you know, members...
They see, security briefings that would probably make your hair stand on end.
Right. And yet you go, because we don't know. I mean, for instance, this PRISM, you know, they're saying help foil this New York City terrorist attack. Well, you know, documents are showing, maybe not. You know what
right.
I mean? And that's
so. There are other people that are on, like Ron Wyden,
mm-hmm.
and you know, there are other senators that have access to all that secret information. You know, and they have access to all the secrecy. They know everything that the program is doing, and they still have really serious doubts about it.
Well,
so,
that's the thing, Elaine. When somebody like a Dianne Feinstein, who I respect. Says something, you're right. I mean, it does affect me differently than when, you know, Louis Gohmert says something. That's at least something this morning, Jim, we can all agree on. That is Louis Gohmert is a douche. By the way, latest Exhibit A, did you see this one? He told a witness who had ended her pregnancy after having been advised the fetus was brain dead
mm-hmm.
that she should have carried the child to term.
Great.
But
what's the point?
That Louis Gohmert is brain dead. That's my point,
well, yes.
And also a douche.
Little douchebag, he don't know a lot. Little douchebag, he don't know a lot. Well, I'm not bragging, man, so don't put me down. But I've got the dumbest congressman in town. His name is Louis Gohmert, and he don't even try. But short of a load, he's a couple bricks shy. My little douchebag, he don't know a whole lot. He don't know a whole lot. He's got his paranoid rants in the house on the floor. You cast aspersions on asparagus, you'll go out the door. With his East Texas grammar, he'll use a lot of angst. It's
pain because he grew up around lead-based paint. Well, I'm not saying Robert's a bad guy, but the U.S. Congress let a standard slide. It seems like Dumb has been done to death. It might get better, but don't hold your breath. He's my little douchebag. He don't know a whole lot. He's my little douchebag.
Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. All right, Eric Bollert from Media Matters for America coming up. We will ask him about his take on the this NSA stuff and much more. Peter Page, you remember from Queer as Folk, he now co-producing with Jennifer Lopez the new series, The Fosters, which sounds fascinating. He will be live in studio with us
in
hour number three. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show. The Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right, it's time for our Monday friend, Eric Bollert from Media Matters. Eric Bollert from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollert.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bollert.
Let's dive into the right-wing world. I don't know what that means. Eric Bollert from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollert.
Good morning, Eric Bollert. Well, let's get your thoughts on the NSA thing right out of the box, because it's a lot to chew on, isn't it?
It is. It is. It seems to have sort of knocked everything off the radar. You know, I think the major question is has this program expanded dramatically from when the Patriot Act was passed and under previous years? Is this basically a runaway train where no one stops? I mean, it was originally let's sort of listen in, let's keep track of people who talk to people overseas who we have concerns about, or incoming communications from overseas, and now it just seems to be kind of everyone.
Right.
Everyone's
right.
Game, and all the telecoms are in, and again, but you know, I think there has been some bad reporting. This isn't wiretapping, from what I understand. You know, they're not reading emails, but it is collecting all this data pretty much at will. You know, 30,000 FISA requests since it was created, and that FISA court was created in the late 70s, and something like 12 have ever been denied.
Mm-hmm.
So it raises all kinds of questions. And Glenn Greenwald, who I wrote about in my book Bloggers on the Bus, who was a cornerstone of the growth of the liberal blogosphere and the Netroots, you know, is at the center of this, and he's changing the news cycle. Glenn basically changed the way he completely changed the liberal blogosphere.
Mm-hmm.
He was this unhappy, under-challenged constitutional lawyer living in New York City. One day he said, I'm going to start a blog. And within 6 months he was really, and this is like 2005, 2006. Within 6 months, he was the most important liberal blogger in America.
Mm-hmm.
And people are understand that now, who are just now beginning to read him, read his reporting. He is an incredibly diligent and smart guy. Anyone who saw him on ABC this week, over the weekend, it was an amazing interview that he gave. So it's interesting. It's sort of great to see, you know, a liberal blogger, who is now much more than that. I mean, he's a columnist for The Guardian, et cetera.
Right.
But really show how reporting can be done.
Yeah, which is, if you've been watching Fox News, you forget. by the way, I always think this is my imagination when I watch the Sunday shows. You say, you tweeted, since 2010, regarding senators, only three Dems have been among the 12 most frequent Sunday morning talk show guests. I always think it's my imagination, but it is not.
It's not. And the weird part is, you know, the New York Times did this piece yesterday, basically, why is John McCain on every Sunday, which everyone has been asking for years.
Right.
And then they did this graph, you know, this graphic of, like, all the senators who have been on. And if you look at it, yes, only three of the last of the 12 most frequent senator guests since 2010. But the New York Times didn't even mention that. They didn't even think it was unusual. They didn't even think there have this, you know, three, 4-to-1 imbalance. They didn't think that was odd. But, you know, the real story to write about the Sunday morning talk shows is, why is it basically a place for Republicans to disseminate their talking points, much more so than Democrats. And another quick point, Media Matters has been covering this for years.
Mm-hmm.
And when Bush was in the White House and Media Matters counted up all the guests, and it was overwhelmingly Republican, the Sunday morning talk show host said, well, of course, you know, there's a Republican in the White House. We want to have all the top officials. And now the script is flipped. There's a Democrat in the White House, and there's still more Republicans on the Sunday shows.
But of
and
course.
The producers say, well, yeah, that's more newsworthy. You know, we want to hear the critics of the administration.
Wow.
It's like, you can't have it both ways here, folks.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. By the way, you know, as we've been talking about this whole NSA thing, there clearly, you know, is some hypocrisy to be had, I suppose, on every side of it. But
uh-huh.
But I actually love the point you made. You said right-wing defense of NSA
yeah.
snooping. If you're not doing anything wrong, why worry? So why won't law-abiding gun owners do the same, register
yeah.
guns with the government? It's exactly right.
Right. I mean, the claim is tyranny. The government's going to know who has guns. The government's going to know where we are. The government is encroaching on our, you know, our everyday life. Oh, but by the way, you know, if you don't sign off on the Patriot Act, you're a traitor. I mean, that was the talking point 10 years ago. So, right, why does government, you know, following your every electronic communication, why is that okay if you have nothing to hide? But, you know, people won't even, you know, sign up their guns. I mean, either the
yeah.
government is evil and the government is going to destroy all liberty, or they should be able to read all our or should be able to track all our communications. Again, you can't really have it both ways.
Right, in the name of keeping you safe. And meanwhile, I mean, you know, look at this latest in Santa Monica. It's like,
yeah.
you know, it becomes like, which is, that's the worst part, is you'd be like, oh, it's another shooting rampage.
It's only five. Well, then, you know.
Right.
Yeah, it's only five.
Yeah.
That's hardly newsworthy if it's only five.
Yeah.
I tweeted sarcastically. I said, I'm so old, I remember when a gun shooting rampage was the top story on my Twitter feed.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
it really wasn't. I mean, it was, oh, by the way, you know, all these people are dead in the streets of Santa Monica.
Yeah.
I've been tweeting about, you know, just these rash of accidental shootings, usually involving young kids, usually
mm-hmm.
involving unguarded arms. Again, these are people that don't want to register guns. They don't want to have child locks. They don't want to have, any real punishment for kids who find guns. By the way, yeah, sure, the government should be able to monitor all our electronic communications. It's like, pick a side here, you know.
Yeah.
You can't have it.
Yeah.
And you just said to keep America safe. That's why they should be able to have all the surveillance. 30,000 Americans die every year from guns. So if you're interested in keeping people safe.
Yeah.
You might want to
yeah.
look at that.
And by the way, you know, this is the usual. I'm reading the details of the Santa Monica thing. He was armed with a similar in type to the AR-15.
Yep.
He could have fired up to 1,300 rounds.
Yep. Yep.
He possessed multiple loaded magazines. He had dropped a large bag which contained additional loaded magazines, a handgun, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, it's the same stuff. The type and number of magazines meant the suspect could have fired up to 1,300 rounds had he not been stopped. I mean,
yeah,
was,
and,
you know,
and he had, and I think I read he had, a mental history problem.
Mm-hmm.
Surprise, you know, people who aren't all there love AR-15s when they decide they want to go take revenge on people.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same old story, and I mean that in the literal sense and the depressing sense.
By the way, your other tweet, we caught that as well last week. Romney saying, I wish Hurricane Sandy hadn't hit a week before the election. He really at some point needs to stop talking, doesn't he? It's
he
like,
does.
Not that it shouldn't have happened at all. And, you know,
yeah,
sorry
and
about
as
the people.
As I pointed out, he does know 138 people died, right?
Right.
But in Mitt Romney's mind, the Hurricane Sandy will always be about how it affected my campaign.
Right.
How
That's
it affected
the, real tragedy.
The electoral
yeah.
The electoral turnout. I mean, the East Coast still has not dug out from that. It's just incredibly insensitive. And, you know, he had like an hour-long interview with Neil Cavuto, and he's got his blazer and his, you know, and his dress shirt, and he's, you know, probably in his, just got off his car elevator in La Jolla. And it's, come on. I mean, just stop. Just go away. And if
yeah.
you are going to come back, don't pretend, you know, everything is about you, and leave the poor people of New Jersey and Staten Island out of it.
I love your piece, Fox's War on Women Games New Momentum with Susan Rice appointment. NSA National Security Advisor dismissed as Obama's human shield.
Yeah.
It's
That was really crazy. So the talking point last week of this massive freakout, you know, and he appointed Susan Rice because they can't obstruct it, so they can't stop it. So they just, like, people on Fox just yelled and screamed about Benghazi all day. But Sean Hannity was talking about the only reason she was appointed is because she's a woman. And he doesn't, you know, that means Republicans won't attack her. And Andrea Tantaros on the Five went further, saying that Susan Rice was his human shield and that they use these women to deflect criticism. And it's like, A, you know, Republicans weren't shy about smearing and attacking Susan Rice last November and December when people thought she might be Secretary of State.
Right.
In fact, they seem to be overly excited about smearing and attacking a powerful woman. And so that doesn't work. And B, you know, look at her resume. A Rhodes Scholar, youngest ever Undersecretary of State, UN Ambassador, and now the National Security Advisor. She's the puppet. She's just sort of this woman who was wandering around the West Wing, and Obama said, make her National Security Advisor. I mean, the misogyny and then the hatred is really kind of creepy. I mean, I expected to freak out Benghazi. I was kind of taken aback that, he just picked her because she's a woman.
Yeah, exactly. And if you can be surprised at Fox sexism,
I know, right?
It's still a magical new day for you, Eric Bowler. All right, great stuff as always. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks so much,
okay,
Eric.
Bye-bye.
All right. Oh, he was farther away than usual.
Wow.
That was,
he's already out the door.
Oh, yeah,
it was a Doppler effect as he was running away from the phone.
Okay. Men just cannot get away from me fast enough. Okay, 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
You know what I mean? And I do my little turn on the catwalk. Yeah, on the catwalk. On the catwalk, yeah.
Meow.
I do my little turn on the catwalk.
Meow.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Mikey in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mikey. Hello.
Well, hello. Happy gay day.
Thank you.
After the gayest drop ever.
All right.
It ends in Y, right? I was wondering, you know, I'm an unabashed liberal, and this is my president. Hello. But I think the problem is that we're not thinking about the next president.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is what, you know, Rude Pundit was saying, that when, you know, people like him, you know, he and him were screaming about it during Bush, the Bush administration, saying, guess what, he's not going to be president forever. And that's the problem, right? The larger problem is the Patriot Act.
Exactly. And I've been throwing feces since maybe the second Bush presidency. But I think what most concerns me is that we're not concerned.
Yeah,
right. Most of
yeah, we just can't get excited about apathy. Jim has a, this is a piece by Daniel Ellsberg.
Daniel Ellsberg from the Washington Post. Mm-hmm. There was a period after the Vietnam War, partly due to the Pentagon Papers and largely due to Watergate, that made people much less tolerant of being lied to, much more aware of how often they were being lied to and how the system operated to make that lying possible without accountability. We got the Freedom of Information Act, the FISA court was set up, the FBI was reined in a great deal, the NSA was forbidden to do overhearing of any American citizens without a court warrant. This lasted for some years. But 40 years have passed, and after 9/11 in particular, all those lessons have been lost. There's been a very great tolerance that if the magic words national security or the new words homeland security are invoked, Congress has given the president virtually a free hand in deciding what information they will know as well as the public. I wouldn't count on the current court with its current makeup of making the same ruling with the Pentagon Papers as they did 40 years ago. I'm sure President Obama would have sought a life sentence in my case. Various things that were counted as unconstitutional then have been put in the president's hands now. He's become an elected monarch. Nixon's slogan, when the president does it, it's not illegal, is pretty much endorsed now, meaning not only Obama but the people who come after him will have powers that no previous president had, abilities on surveillance that no country in the history of the world has ever had.
We were talking about, for instance, Representative Mike Rogers, Republican. He's on the House chairman of the House Intelligence Committee.
It's dangerous to us. It's dangerous to our national security, and it violates the oath of which that person took. Mm-hmm. I absolutely think they should be prosecuted. Yeah.
But, you know, this goes to, again, you know, does it depend on what side of the aisle you're on when somebody says something. He was the one that last week, remember, said that the program had PRISM.
Yep.
Had helped stop a major terror attack in recent years. He was talking about the guy that was going to attack the New York City subway station in 2009. But legal documents from his case are casting doubts on these claims. A computer seized during an earlier raid gave British authorities and FBI agents access to an email account that Zezzy. Later emailed for a bomb recipe, meaning PRISM's comprehensive surveillance would have been unnecessary. BuzzFeed wrote, old-fashioned police work, not data mining, was the tool that led counterterrorism agents to arrest Zazzy. This is the sort of investigation made possible by ordinary warrants under FISA. Authorities appear simply to have been monitoring the Pakistani email account that had been linked to terrorists earlier that year. So, you know, and again, this goes back to the whole debate. How do you fight a war against a tactic? You know. All right. Senator Mark Udall, Democrat of Colorado.
The fact that every call I make to my friends, to my family, is noted where I am, the length of it, the date, that concerns me, particularly because Americans didn't know this. That's why I'm calling for reopening of the Patriot Act.
Good. Good, good, good. Somebody needed to.
Rob in Wisconsin, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Rob.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I think that Ed is definitely a hero, but it's sad that what he did is he could go to life in prison for, but what the government did is completely legal. I think that's wrong with this.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I mean, Chris, I don't know what you think, but I mean, according to Rood, I don't think anything's going to happen with the Patriot Act. I think it should be discussed. It probably should be fixed, but will it? Will it? No, probably not.
Of course not.
Senator Jeff Merkley, Democrat of Oregon, on this subject as well. Senator Jeff
Merkley. I'd like to know how the president feels that my cell phone calls and your cell phone calls are relevant to an investigation. What investigation? What act or what threat?
Sam in Jacksonville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sam.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
There was a couple of things about this spying thing. Is one, the guy didn't work for NSA, he worked for a private contractor, which is way too many of in our government to begin with. And the only other thing that really bothered me was I read somewhere this weekend that, you know, people are using it to spy on their ex-wives and things like that. And when you talk about maybe presidential candidates or something like that, if you get a partisan person in there that's going to dig up dirt, that's just not fair. You know, and we don't want it on our side, and they don't want it on their side. So, you know, this thing needs strict overview, and it needs to get out of private contractors' hands and be part of a responsible government service.
Yeah, well, we were talking about this guy earlier, Sam. It is a little scary. He was a high school dropout. Mm-hmm. He didn't finish computer training at a community college, and I'm like, how did he get that? He has access to everybody's, you know, private.
He knows the guy.
Yeah, we need to depend less on independent contractors for stuff like this.
Well, yeah, and also the private prisons are pretty scary, too, where they can
that's a whole other topic.
That's write laws to get more clients.
Right. They make more money if they put more people in prison.
Kevin in D.C. Hey, Kev, go ahead.
Good morning, lovely baby.
Hello.
I have to correct you on one thing you said before the break. You said men can't get away from you quickly. You know there's at least one man that can't get quickly enough to you.
Yes,
but anyway.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I just want everybody – I have a problem with it as well, but I just want everyone to remember that real life, to borrow what the president said, is not like an Aaron Sorkin fantasy. Republicans are never going to have a 5 minutes before the end of the movie or TV show Change of Heart. And everything that has been accomplished the last few years, they will immediately take away. There's at least a chance to reverse this under Democrats. There's no chance under Republicans. You want everything that you've loved the past few years to go away. You just make this one issue upset for you enough not to vote in the midterms and give the psychopaths, you know, back control of the every seat of the House, in the Senate, in the presidency.
I hear you, honey. All right, heartbreak here, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'll admit,
There are dark, sordid little corners of the internet where the name
Stephanie Miller
is whispered in hushed tones.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Hey, let's invite Jackie to the party, wanna?
Hello, world. Here's the news that's breaking. Come on, get Jackie.
Yep. Yep, yep. Good morning, Jackie Schachner.
Well, good morning.
First of all, a little tiny corner before we go back to you. So you were right. It's the 80-20 rule in Obamacare that has given major insurers have to give back $36 million to California small businesses. Thank you, Jackie Schachner, for getting us to the Affordable Care Act.
No, that's a nice part, that these insurance companies are going to be mandated to spend your premium dollars on actual medical care.
Right. It forces
Imagine that.
It forces them to spend 80% of the premiums they charge on paying for actual medical services rather than administrated overhead or profits. That means more money for ordinary consumers, less for profitable insurance companies. Yay.
Yay. Big yay.
Right. And by the way, the so-called 80-20 rule has put $1.5 billion back into American pockets in 2011 alone.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that great?
Right.
Sort of infuriating they've been getting away with this all along.
Yeah, right.
But nice to know that we made a change.
Exactly. All right. So your thoughts on the, you want to chime in on the NSA thing?
Yeah, well, I mean, this probably is going to get me into a lot of trouble, but I have a little bit of an issue with Snowden. I watched the interview and I read the articles, and I'm just a little concerned by how he went about all of this, and I'm a little sort of skeptical and suspicious of somebody who plans to do this for 3 weeks, you know, lies to his girlfriend, says he doesn't care if he doesn't see his family again,
takes off
for Hong Kong.
Right, and then gets emotional about how this might affect his family. It's like,
That's all just a little suspicious to me. And
now
I like,
a warning?
A little bit of me likes to make the comparison. I mean, this should be very telling. I had to look up his name. I couldn't remember the name of the guy who leaked the 47% video.
Right.
Scott Prouty, right? I had to Google it. But to me, it was like, I remember the 47% video and all of the conversation that started. I don't remember Scott's name as easily because he waited a while to come out because it wasn't about him. It was about the story. And that's why he said he waited so long to reveal his identity. He wanted people to pay attention to the story. If this guy Snowden was so concerned about revealing all this information and having it not be about him, why is he sitting down and making a video a couple of days later? I mean, to me, he's drawing attention away from the content that he's so concerned about to make himself the center of the story. And I just wonder what we'll learn about him and his nature and his personality. Not that it takes away from the conversation we can and should be having about whether or not this is a big deal, but I just wonder about the motivation behind this. And frankly, if you sign up to be a part of the government and you are approved for some sort of security clearance, there are some expectations.
I totally get what you're saying, because I felt like stuff like this, for instance, was a little self-aggrandizing. This is
My name's Ed Snowden. I'm 29 years old. I work for Booz Allen Hamilton as an infrastructure analyst for NSA in Hawaii. I, sitting at my desk, certainly had the authorities to wiretap anyone, from you or your accountant to a federal judge to even the president if I had a personal email.
I'd want to work for a company that starts with the word booze.
Yeah, me too.
It's B-O-O-S, unfortunately.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But I mean, your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, the whole thing to me just seems a little self-serving. Mm-hmm. And I just don't understand. I just don't understand why he's doing this the way he did it, and it just all seems. And I guess it was the tone as I'm watching this, and he's talking about, you know, I don't know what's next for me, and here's what they may do to me, and there was a lot of me, and it just it came across to me as incredibly narcissistic and incredibly self-involved. Mm-hmm. And I just think that if you're so concerned about the nature of the country and the security nature of the country, that perhaps this shouldn't be about you.
Yes,
and
what do you think about my narcissism?
Yeah. That's just kind of how it came across to me.
Well, and, not that Jim doesn't raise good points, but I'm just saying, to me, there's a difference between this and me lie.
Well,
just, there's just a huge difference, you know, because, Jackie, that's what, you know, a lot of what we were talking to Rude Pundit about. I mean, the fact is, this is a debate we should be having, but the fact is, this is the Patriot Act that we all agree to, Republicans and Democrats, right?
Right, and I do think there's something to be said for the fact that this all is happening with congressional approval. This is not news to the people that we elected, that there are levels of oversight, and maybe we need to have that conversation about what we okay and don't okay.
Right, and so that's what I mean. People knew this was happening, Jack, but I think you're right. We didn't know the details. But as James Clapper said, we don't know the details because you don't want the terrorists to know the details.
Well, that's the other thing, too, is that how self-absorbed are you that you think you have the authority to decide what should be public knowledge and what should be security, should be under lock and key, should be secure. And I think that if you have security clearance, there's an assumption that you're entrusted with keeping things private that may need to be private. I mean, I the guy turns around and he says, I think the public should decide. Have you met the public? Like, right. I'm not so sure that everybody needs to weigh in on this. I'm pretty sure that there are some people with more knowledge of national security than your average guy, and maybe they should be making decisions as to what we need and don't need. I mean, I don't believe in absolute government authority by any stretch, but if I have to
choose between President Obama and a high school dropout that didn't finish his computer course at community college, I'm going to go with President Obama.
Yeah, it's an easy choice.
Well, here's the part you were talking about, Ed Snowden, the NSA whistleblower yesterday.
I'm just another guy who sits there day to day in the office, watches what's happening, and goes, this is something that's not our place to decide. The public needs to decide whether these programs and policies are right or wrong.
Yeah, it does. He does make it sound awfully noble, doesn't it?
He also has to go back to government 101 because we do elect people to represent us.
Right.
We don't vote on everything all the time. And, we certainly weigh in with public opinion, but we elect elected officials.
And if you disagree with Senator Feinstein or with someone on the other side of the aisle on this, then you call or write them or you unelect them if that's how you feel.
Exactly. We don't crowdsource every vote in this country. There, we have a process, and whether or not you think that process works or is flawed, that's fine. But you don't get to have national security clearance and decide that the public should make this decision. Like, who are you to decide that? And I just think that
I don't want to draw attention to myself, but here I am on television, and here's my name.
Exactly. At like 3 days after I leaked this stuff. I mean, I don't know. To me, it just something about it just smells really foul.
Yeah, at the beginning of the interview, my name is Ed Snowden, and you could almost hear him wanting to spell it out, just so the reporters get it right. E-D-S-N-O-W.
I'm 29 years old. I like long walks in the moonlight.
Exactly.
Yes. I've
got a fancy hotel in Hong Kong where my bills are running out because I'm getting room service every day, but I don't know when this is going to end.
Exactly.
The whole thing.
But I won't be ignored. It's going to go on and on until I get more attention.
I'm not going to be ignored.
That's right. All right. Jackie Schechter, good stuff. Thank you, honey,
for chiming in. Oh, no problem. My pleasure.
All right. There she goes. Nurse Jackie.
Yay.
Ken in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ken.
Hey, how you doing? I'm a liberal, but I think in this issue with the NSA, the liberals and the conservatives are paranoid about big government taking over. We've been a country for 300 and some years. I don't see, we have checks and balances. We had the Nixon era, but that's the people. The people are the checks and balances. In 1770, our threat was people coming in with one-shot guns taking us over. Now we have people who can come into New York with nuclear devices. And, I mean, this is a technology age. The private companies already have this information. I would rather the government have this than these private industries. I mean, we're getting the information from the private industry.
You can't vote out the Koch brothers, for example.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and Ken, I think you raise a good point. You bring up Nixon, and this is what we've been saying about them, saying everything is worse than Watergate. Once again, thanks for playing really bad analogies. Let's review for historical purposes. The president ordered a burglary to get information on his enemies. That is totally, like you say, you can agree or disagree with this, but this is not something Obama ordered. This is the Patriot Act that we all agreed to.
Although, we should point out that Ellsberg says the government had used the Espionage Act against leaks only 3 times before the Obama administration. He's used it 6 times. So, I don't know.
Right. Okay. Let's go to Gail in Sacramento. Hi, Gail. Welcome.
Hi, guys. Did we get upset when Google decided to film the front of all of our dwellings?
That's a private company. That's not the government. That's the big difference.
I understand that, but I didn't give consent to that.
Right.
Did you get consent to that?
Gail,
right. And
no,
this is how precedence gets, this is how precedence in law gets started. And, and listen. I'm not happy about this either. I'm a liberal. This makes fact of my,
no, I freaked out the first time I saw Google Maps as well, Gail. It's
but
like, wait
on, the, on the street, you do not have a reasonable expectation of privacy.
That's no, you don't.
Right.
No, you don't. If it's not in your body and not in your house, you
exactly.
no longer have the
inside your house, you
privacy.
Have you have privacy so
right.
far.
Right. And your body. All right. Nobody should
right.
be able to invade the
well,
inside of your body.
Unless you're at the airport.
Well, and, unless it's consented. Well, but that's a consent issue. Okay, I'm giving consent for you to da 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 for me to get from point A to point B. Again, consent. If I don't want that, then I don't fly. So
right.
You
have that choice.
Right. But. Right, exactly. And who didn't know? Okay? And this man, are you kidding me? He couldn't find a reporter to out this story for him. He had to go to Hong Kong.
Well, no, he's,
he can't be extradited.
Right. He's in Hong Kong so that he, you know, can't be extradited.
Right. So what is heroic about evasion of the law? If you are standing on principle, then you wait your butt in Hawaii until they come. But this guy runs. He establishes
yeah.
a platform.
It's a little
cowardly. I agree with what Jackie says, because
right.
this is about me, myself, and I, and oh, aren't I noble. But however, he could have, are you telling me that Rachel Maddow would not have taken this story and done a huge piece on it?
Mm-hmm.
That there is no, with our free press, that if he wanted to get this information
yep.
out, that he could not have done it another way.
Yeah, I hear you.
Right, you know, fly an airplane over, you know.
All right, okay, with
but,
a banner, with a banner.
I mean, right. People, you know, just with some justification, are worried about government being too big, but I'm more worried about corporatism, because like
yeah.
I'm saying, you can't vote out the Koch brothers.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're talking about the private
they,
prisons,
yeah.
where they have an incentive to
right.
to arrest
and,
people.
And companies
yeah.
don't answer to the American people. They only answer to
right.
their shareholders
right.
and to their board.
And all that being said, Google Maps is creepy. I don't care what anyone says.
How is it creepy?
It's creepy.
It's a huge help.
Oh.
When you need to go find a place on Google Maps. And,
sure. And if creepy stalkers want to find your house.
Right?
Then,
exactly. You haven't had my problems. Okay,
they have your address. It's easy to find.
46 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It even vibrates like real.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, yeah. It is the Stephanie
In that
Miller
order?
Show. Yes.
In that order.
Whatever order you want. Mix it up.
Magic, sex, love?
Right. Whatever. Right. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Someone's mad at me for something different than my, Obama apology miss. Dan in Madison writes out, Steph, thanks a lot. I made the mistake of telling the family of Cody the screaming dog.
Oh,
every
no.
computer at our house was blasting Cody's whining voice
oh.
all evening long. How do I wash
oh.
that earworm from my head? Well, you can't. You can't get over Cody, the dog that screams like Sam Kennison. Okay. By
I
the
don't
way,
know why you find that fascinating. It's just horrifying.
No, it's funny. It's funny. Okay. So Eric Bowler made a great point, as usual. He was tweeting about, the right wing being fine with the NSA snooping, but
mm-hmm.
they don't want anyone to have to register a gun ever.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about this, the latest in Santa Monica Friday, Santa Monica Police Chief Friday.
He was armed with a .223 semi-automatic rifle, similar in type to an AR-15. He was in possession of multiple loaded magazines, a handgun, and the upper receiver for an automatic rifle.
The fifth victim just died. The Santa Monica police chief again.
Well, I would presume that anytime someone puts on a vest of some sort, comes out with a bag full of loaded magazines, carjacks folks, goes to a college, kills more people, and has to be neutralized at the hands of the police, I would say that that's premeditated.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A
little bit.
Yeah. Hattie in Tennessee, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Hattie.
Hi. Hello. Steph, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. I don't know if anyone has thought about this, but I think this guy is a plant. I think he's a mole. He has worked for Booz and Allen, it said, for 3 months. Now, I have a background in computer science. I am retired now. I'm 71 years old. But at one time, for 24 years, I worked in computers. But it takes time for you to learn computer systems, even private computer systems. Mm-hmm. And when you think of a computer systems that are as complex as our government, as complex as they can be, as large as the government is, it would be impossible in 3 months' time. He's only been with Booz and Allen for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
In 3 months' time for him to grasp that much information, he would have to have been a child prodigy. And it said that this guy was a high school dropout.
Right.
And the other thing is,
and didn't finish his computer class at community college?
Well, no matter what he took at community, you know, you can't compare a community college to an ITT.
Right.
Or University of Illinois. They don't stack up on that same level. And the other thing, if he cared so much about the American people, why would he pick up and flee? Why would he go to Hong Kong? Why wouldn't he sit right there in Hawaii, tell the American people everything that he has given Greenwald, and wait for them to come pick him up?
Right.
He ran because he doesn't want to go to jail. He broke the law.
Hong Kong has a history of cooperating with American authorities and extraditing criminals.
Well, that would be great.
Yeah.
But he also puts the country at a greater risk, too.
Well, that's
right. Because he could
be
picked up by other agents. He could be picked up by the Chinese. The Chinese are already stealing, supposedly, our secrets, both from corporations as well as from the government. And, you know, I don't see him as a hero.
Right. Did he do more harm or good? I mean, that's a fair question, don't you think?
I don't see him as a hero. I see him as a criminal.
Yep. All right. Christine in Cleveland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Christine. Welcome.
Good morning, family.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
Can I be the official woman that doesn't have her panties in a bunch this morning?
All right,
sure.
Then. I thought that would be me, but okay, fine.
Okay, well, we can talk about that later. This Mike Rogers, you know, the chair of the House Intel Committee.
Right.
You know, talking about violating this man's oath, this Mr. Snowman or whatever it is. And it's like, the hypocrisy is baffling to me because you look at what's going on in Congress and it's all the shiny objects that you frequently talk about. It's look, here's the keys, here's the shiny objects.
Right.
But when it comes to doing the people's work, have they not all violated their oath as far as jobs, infrastructure, things that are really pertinent? Do you know how many people aren't even, I mean, you and I and Chris and Jim, we're all kind of the newsaholics.
Right.
So, you know, we look at that and we go, okay, we're the newsaholic. But those that don't have jobs, and that's including me right now, there's so many more important things.
Yeah.
You know, Benghazi, you know, and can I quote Hillary Clinton? It was like, what difference does it make at this point? And if you had a computer like 10 or 15 years ago, did you not know that this was going to be out there? Did you not know that this was going to happen? And when they violate their oath, I mean, how about legislation versus investigation?
There you go. Oh, there you go. Oh, there's a catchphrase for 2014. Legislation, not investigation. How's about that? Oh, by the way, here's a story about Republicans have a problem with young voters. Democrats have a problem with young non-voters. So it's about we got to get off our ass and...
Sure. Stop being lazy and shiftless.
Right, exactly. Interesting story by Ronald Brownstein. The Republicans have a problem with young voters. Democrats have a problem with young non-voters. The simple equation, which applies equally to minority voters, helps explain why Republicans could enjoy another strong midterm election in 2014, without solving any of their underlying demographic challenges that threaten them in the 2016 presidential race. You know, the bottom line is that we're going to have the same kind of just gridlock.
Mm-hmm.
In that, I hope that stuff like this like gets people off their ass. Next year's election could disappoint both Democrats by frustrating their hope of recapturing the House and mislead Republicans by tempting them to believe they have overcome the trends that allowed Democrats to win the popular vote in five of the past six presidential elections. It could also highlight one of the forces making it difficult for either party to sustain unified control over Washington, even as they struggle to reach consensus on almost anything while power is divided. The familiar part is the tendency of young and more recently minority voters to turn out in much smaller numbers during the midterms than the presidential elections. This means 2014 will likely feature an older and whiter electorate at a time when older whites have become the core of the Republican electoral coalition, to which I say, eek. Eek. Scary.
Yeah.
All right. So that was not a happy clappy, but hopefully it's a cautionary tale.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we have Peter Page is on his way in studio. You remember him from Queer as Folk. Mm-hmm. He is producing the new Jennifer Lopez and he have co-created and are producing a new show called The Fosters, which is fascinating.
Yeah.
58 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Why? Who is that in my peripheral vision? Why? It's the handsome, romantic Peter Page.
Oh, my goodness.
Actor extraordinaire from Queer as Folk, and now executive producer extraordinaire. This is very exciting. Congratulations
Thank
on the new
so
show.
Thank you so much. What? Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here. The dirty liberal in me is so happy.
Dirty, dirty boy. Well, the big news, you are, I had no idea that you were such a big mogul, but indeed you are, the new ABC family show, The Fosters, your show. You created it.
I created it with my writing partner, Brad Bredewig. Jennifer Lopez is one of the executive producers.
Of J-Lo fame.
Of J-Lo fame.
From,
indeed.
Of the
block. Indeed.
Of the
Jenny
block.
On
right.
the block.
Right.
Yes. She's been fantastic. She's really, really been out supporting the show. And, you know, having a megaphone like Jennifer is an incredibly powerful tool
yes.
in Hollywood. Yes.
I'm told she's somewhat high profile.
Exactly. With her 19 million Twitter followers.
Yes. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about this show, too. I love the whole, because she sort of said it's based on her experience of just having an atypical family. And I love the idea. Tell us. You know, the premise.
What
the show's
about? The show's about two moms, a lesbian couple.
What? Why wasn't I told?
Two moms, a lesbian couple. And I'm going to make it worse. They're interracial.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Even more shocking.
Oh, no.
Exactly. Who have one biological son from one of their previous marriages.
And one mechanical son?
No. And two adopted Latino twins. One boy, one girl. And then they bring a foster girl into the home.
This is all so confusing. And so I when you grow up in, you know, with Ozzy and Harriet,
filthy.
I'm right.
It's just outright filthy. And it's the story of this created family.
Right.
And really, at the end of the day, it's a family drama. That's all it is. It's just a family drama about a non-traditional family.
And you've had one airing, and you said you're off to a great start. We can watch it tonight?
Yes, we premiered last week. Did very, very well. We I don't know, we were up 197% or something from the same window last
right.
year, which I don't know what that means. But
right,
it
and
sounds,
that was just
good.
From Focus on the Family watching, and their heads exploding
well,
one by
the
one.
The best? Just. Yeah. I mean, I probably shouldn't say this, but...
Uh-oh.
But 1 million moms, they keep sending out these email blasts that say, "Don't watch The Fosters. It's on Mondays at 9,
right.
8 Central.
Do it. It's
also
horrible.
Repeat airing
Whatever
at this
do.
Time and this time and this time
Please
and this
protest.
Time. So,
you can't ask for better
do not
promotion
DVR
than that.
The show, ever.
Whatever you do.
One of
yeah,
the
really.
This is our old Queer as Folk story, but when Queer as Folk first went on the air, somebody took out a full-page ad in the Salt Lake City paper that said, "Do not watch Queer as Folk. It has scenes of anal sex, oral sex, drug use, gay men kissing." It was the best ad we ever got. It was way better than anything Showtime put together.
Kids with chicken pox.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Yeah, those poor million moms. But first of all, I think there may be a skosh less than a million.
Just a few.
My yeah. understanding is there's roughly 5,000, but I don't
right.
I don't want to don't quote me on that. But
fewer zeros.
I think it might just be one mom in her mom's basement, you know, tapping things out on a computer. That's it.
Right. They protested Ellen DeGeneres before, and also Sweaty Balls ice cream.
Mm-hmm. Oh, indeed.
Yes.
Of course.
They are just permanently outraged.
They're just mad.
Right. And we were saying, if you don't like lesbians or sweaty balls, how can we help you?
What do we
how,
are
how
you?
How might we serve you?
We have nothing for you.
What
Liberal
do
America
you like?
Has nothing left to give you.
You are just persnickety. So, obviously, you, as somebody was saying, I think Jennifer Lopez says, I think in every time we have to kind of push the envelope and really be a reflection of what's going on in society and what families really look like rather than,
see these families around me. You know, that's where the idea came from. My writing partner and I had wanted to do a family drama, and because there's sort of this dearth of them on the air right now. And we were like, well, what story do we want to tell? What story do we see that isn't currently reflected on television? And, every lesbian couple I know has kids, basically. So I thought, well, let's tell the truth.
I remember some comedians saying, now, what's with lesbians having kids? That used to be the whole point of being becoming a lesbian.
She didn't have to have children.
What is going on?
Joanna Johnson, who's another of our executive producers, she's a lesbian woman. She has two kids, two adopted kids with her partner. And she's like, if you do it, just do one. Just do one. One is perfect. I mean, I love my kids. They're amazing. But two is too many. It's just too many.
Stop trying to outbreed the breeders, for God's sake.
For the love of God.
We get the point. You can do it, too. Interesting, though. Jennifer Lopez had said, you can't keep spoon-feeding the idea of who the perfect family is. It doesn't exist. Even myself, I have two kids. Their dad, Mark Anthony, doesn't live at home with us. I'm divorced. They have four stepbrothers and sisters from two other moms. It's not traditional. But I thought her point was actually touching. She said, we all wish we had that fairy tale thing in our heads, but when it doesn't come true for children, they shouldn't have to think, oh, I don't have the mom and dad, the perfect three kids and a dog. There's something wrong with me.
That I'm lesser somehow.
Right.
And I think a lot of us grew up that way, feeling like we're not the Cleavers, so somehow...
It's the Brady Bunch or nothing.
Yeah, somehow we failed. So,
Even the Brady Bunch was
I'm sure the 1 million moms would have protested the Brady Bunch in their time.
Yeah, because Carol Brady was divorced, and you just didn't talk about that in the late 60s. Yeah.
Right, you whispered it like black.
That's right.
She's divorced. So, The Foster stars Terry Polo.
Terry Polo of Meet the Parents.
Awesome. And we have, as you were saying, it's an interesting storyline. You said who makes up the family, but she plays a police officer.
She's a police officer.
Who works with her ex-husband.
Who's partnered with her ex-husband.
Wow.
Played by Danny Nucci.
A very cool
Titanic fan.
Yeah.
We're going to America. Right? I mean, that's all I have to say, and you can see his face.
Exactly.
But, you know, a lot of this, too, as somebody pointed out, is generational. The millennial generation is so much more colorblind than the generation before them, and gay is not an issue for them. They're so much more used to people being out. So that's a change.
It's been a fascinating thing. You know, we went on the air last week, and I've been watching Twitter basically obsessively ever since. And I just hashtag the Fosters. And it's been overwhelmingly positive. I've been astounded. I was expecting a lot more blowback and a lot more criticism. And that the generation that really uses Twitter, they're completely down. They're completely down. I've seen three tweets, I think, where people said, oh, this is disgusting. I can't believe I got cable again for this filthy The Fosters. I liked The Fosters until that one mom kissed the other mom.
Has there been any problem with it being on ABC Family, which is a little more...
They're not really. I mean, the truth is, ABC Family, they bought the network from Pat Robertson.
Yep.
There was a contractual agreement. They had to keep the word family in the title for 10 years.
And they had to keep running the 700 Club.
And now they did.
Yeah.
That has just made his head explode. What it now means, what family now means on ABC Family.
Their tagline is a new kind of family, and we just came along to make good on it.
Yeah. That's why we have tornadoes.
Yeah. I did 1,000 years ago, Show Me the Funny on ABC Family.
Yeah, wow.
And then it became Show Me the Door, which they did.
Alas.
Anyway.
You have a history with them?
Show me my last paycheck.
I have a long checkered history with them and every network. Lopez said the Foster stands for what she's learned are important things in life, which are family equals love. It's a place where you go for unconditional love, to be accepted, to feel safe. At the end of the day, there's no real normal. And, you know, it's interesting. One of my best friends is a psychologist, and she did her thesis on the myth of normalcy. And I think even more so today, what's normal?
I think the sooner we dispense with the idea of normal, the better we all feel in our skin.
Yeah.
Because the truth is, at the end of the day, everyone's got something that makes them feel different, other, outside, less than, worse than, weirder than.
Right. Oh, well, I'm...
Whatever it is.
I'm weirder than everybody. That's not a question.
Well, but, we know that.
Right. Okay. And I know people were asking if she's going to be involved at all at some point.
In front of the camera?
Music?
We're using some of her music in the first season, so she's been terrific. She may act at some point. We'll see. She's been really clear that she really believes the show doesn't need it. That the show kind of stands on its own, which I take as a huge compliment. And if the right role and opportunity and timing came along, of course we'd love to use her.
So
she's amazing.
There's a slight possibility she might make out with Terry Polo.
You never know.
Listen, just get Jim watching. Just say maybe.
Jim, why is the table rising? I don't understand what's happening.
Your pants are getting tight, Jim.
Yeah. Terry Polo's makes his teeth sweat. Yeah. All right.
Have you seen Sherry Somm, though, who plays her wife?
No.
I have not.
Oh, Sherry Somm is, you look her up on the interwebs. She's ridiculous. She was on In Treatment the second season. She was on Rescue Me. She is one of the most breathtakingly beautiful women in the history of the world.
Wow.
And the two of them make a couple that will make your head spin.
Oh, Jim.
Okay.
Jim's,
yeah.
She's hot.
Jim's pants are entirely too tight now.
Jim, that's,
Have you thought about changing the name of the show to Damn? Advice from Jim.
And the kids are also beautiful, too. I mean, there's the, you know, we have this beautiful, beautiful girl named Maya Mitchell who plays the foster girl who comes into the family. Our Latino twins, Jake T. Austin and Sierra Ramirez, gorgeous kids. Right. It looks like, it's basically like the family brought to you by Benetton.
How did this come about? I'm just curious with Jennifer, because obviously, you know, her storyline fits in so well with your idea. How did that all happen?
We, a friend of my writing partners and mine, somebody we had developed some feature film projects with, moved over to her company and was working in development for her. And he said, you guys were looking for good TV stuff. You guys should come in. And we went in, we pitched this to them. They said, well, why is this a Jennifer Lopez project? Like, what does this have to do with Jennifer and her brand? And we said, well, this is about, you know, the 21st century multicultural family. And we think Jennifer is really the first multicultural superstar. And they were like, sold! they needed to weigh in, and they loved it, and we were off and running.
It's the time-worn Hollywood tradition of ass kissing, and you were obviously spectacular at it.
I beg your pardon.
It's called negotiating.
And you also say that she in this article she does not just sit there being gorgeous; she's actually very involved.
She's absolutely involved. The whole company is. They've been terrific.
Right, they in terms really, of casting and everything.
They've been doing the casting. They weigh in on story. They are active participants in the development of the Fosters.
The only tragedy in this whole thing is that your handsome romantic face has moved behind the camera.
Oh.
And not in front of the camera. Who's the pretty boy
you
in the window
see me,
there?
But you can't see me, but I'm leaning on my fist. with a sideways glance.
You're a pro at that.
With a saucy glance to camera.
That's so much. I really love this. I really love this work, and it feels like a clearer expression of what I was always meant to be doing.
Right.
So acting sort of tortures me.
Aww.
The whole time I'm just sort of agonized by it. So this is a much harder job, but it's a much easier job for me.
So cute how you made that seem like working in a coal mine. All right, 18 minutes after.
I literally met someone who does work in a coal mine just yesterday.
Really?
That's a true story.
Wow.
Yeah.
And did you compare war stories? Queer as folks set.
You know how sparks.
I'm just saying.
I have no comment. 18 minutes after the hour. Right back with more of Peter Page live in studio on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm kind of known for having a twisted sense of humor.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Yo, come on, move this. Shake
what?
That body.
Ah.
Stephanie Miller.
This is the Stephanie Miller Show. Listen, we have a big Hollywood star here. I'm slobbering over him, literally.
That's what it is.
Literally. Peter Page, actor extraordinaire, who is now executive producer, show creator extraordinaire of The Fosters on the ABC Family Television Network. It airs tonight at 9 p.m.
9 o'clock, 8 central.
Right.
Unless you have DirecTV and you're on the West Coast, in which case you have to watch it at 6 or 7.
Oh, dear. Okay. And you gave us a TV fun fact.
Well, a TV fun fact is, if you DVR a show,
right,
and you watch it, and you fast forward through the commercials, your viewing does not count towards ratings.
Oh, dear.
If you don't watch the commercials, they don't care that you watched it.
Uh-oh.
So if you love a television
show,
watch the commercials. Isn't that... I was fascinated. I just learned that last week.
Listen, had no idea.
People know that the Watch Me Here on the current TV network, because who is our biggest star? The ear vac guy.
Wax back guy.
Wax back.
And the prickly hose.
Hugo-san knows him.
He's
that
revered. Hose, he
that is
a revered
an amazing ear. Thing. That
he's a revered ear as a deity that he is.
Yes, the crinkly hose.
Right. We just wonder how those auditions went. Just how many times? Ow! No, too much.
I will never give up my Q-tips. No, my single favorite moment of the day, and I'm not. I'm really not making this up. My single favorite moment of the day is sticking a Q-tip in my
you
ear.
You are a weird dude.
For sure. There's no doubt about it.
Just don't have any pets around that jump on you while you're doing it.
Right. Agreed. I get it. I know it's dangerous. I know it's not good for me.
Right.
Some people smoke. I like.
What a sad little man you are.
I don't like a Q-tip. There's a lot of nerves in there.
Talking about the NSA whistleblower all morning, and Chris and Yankton poking me with a stick as he does. Steph, I agree with you that Google Maps is creepy. It's a little too stalkerish and paparazzi-like. Then again, if you're not doing anything wrong, you've got nothing to fear about Google and paparazzi getting all kinds of photos of your private life, right? As long as they're keeping us safe. Capitalized.
Yeah.
It's not like we don't know companies weren't collecting info. It's nothing new, trademark. Okay, I'll quit poking the bear. Chris and Yankton. Thank you, Chris. So what do you think of this whole thing? Obviously,
I was listening to you guys as I was driving in, and I mean, I certainly understand the case. Who's the woman who you were talking to earlier?
One of the callers?
No, I don't think
so. Jackie
Schechner. Yes, Jackie.
Our newswoman, yes.
Yes, exactly. Jackie, I certainly understand what Jackie's saying. Sort of like, you know, we all knew when we signed up for the Patriot Act that this was part of the thing. Right? But...
I don't remember voting for it.
Not Jim, well, exactly. Not Russ Feingold.
No, I agree. I'm with you. I've been suspicious of it, you know, ever since. But I, at the same time, I do think there's value in having this conversation.
Yeah.
And if it takes, you know, a guy with a little bit of a self-serving ego to zipped off to Hong Kong and have us all talk about it, you know, maybe that's an important thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's some things that do need to remain secret, but there are other things that we need to know about. For example, you know, the guy in the helicopter strafing all these people thinking they were enemy combatants and they were all civilians, including a first responder. But, you know, we need to know what's being done in our name with our tax dollars.
Yeah.
Agreed. I can't argue that. So I do find it pretty terrifying that in the name of convenience, Americans will swallow almost anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you don't get in the way of me getting to the mall, I'm down for kind of whatever is...
Right. It's hard for us to get excited about the apathy regarding this whole thing.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, a very liberal friend yesterday said, yeah. Does it mean that I don't really care about this? I don't know. You know, I mean, I was saying, you know, this is what the president said yesterday, that I think...
You can't have 100% security and also then have 100% privacy and zero inconvenience.
I love when people play jacques with me and they're like, oh, was it just because you trust Obama more than George W. Bush? I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
Got me.
I do.
Yep.
Yeah.
By the way, our other current obsession besides Cody, the dog that screams like Sam Kennison, is behind the candelabra. Don't mean to ask you about all things gay, but I mean...
Oh, we got lots of stuff. We got to talk about the Tonys.
Yeah.
Oh, it was gay pride yesterday. I'm ready.
All right. Behind the candelabra,
I loved it.
What can we say about it?
I loved it. I loved Michael Douglas's man breasts. I loved Rob Lowe's strange, wonky facelift.
Yeah.
His sort of one eye that didn't quite all the way open. And the boy, I got to put you on the Hollywood diet. My favorite moment, I think, is when Michael Douglas pulls out the portrait of himself and he goes, I want him to look like this. Just astounding.
When he comes in the white caftan, I'm sorry, I'm so informal.
or standing on the lip of the stage in the huge feather cape, and he's like, my mother told me she didn't like it, but do you like it? You paid for it. Just astounding.
Right. My brother George was here.
29 minutes after the hour. Back with more of Peter Page live in studio on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey,
Stephanie Miller.
Is it cold in here? Or is it just that I'm not wearing any underwear?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
What was that from?
I have
actor,
no idea.
Producer extraordinaire Peter Page live in studio with us. Marcel in D.C., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Peter. Go ahead. Hey, Marcel.
Stephanie, yes. Wow. I'm calling you because I'm a whistleblower and I belong to an association called the International Association of Whistleblowers. Hmm. We're the only association for and by whistleblowers in the country.
What did you blow the whistle on?
I blew the whistle on fraud in a organization, a nonprofit organization, and my life was put at risk. It was really horrible what happened to me. And there are a group of us, you know, we don't make a lot of money. We don't hit the television set. Nobody knows about us. And naively, we believe that if you tell the truth, that's sufficient, only to find out that telling the truth sets you free, but no one ever finishes the sentence. What it will set you free of is your personal reputation, all of your personal belongings, and in rare cases, your very life.
Mm-hmm. Well, what is your take on the Ed Stone case in particular, though?
Well, I think that for this conversation to occur, there needed to be someone who brought it up. And the only reason we're talking about it today is because he leaked this information to the press. And very often...
But, I mean, Marcel, you don't... I mean... Not every whistleblowing case is the same. Wouldn't you have to admit that? I mean, you can't just say it's okay to leak, you know, classified information that, you know, impacts national security, can you? And say that's the same as, you know, I mean, pick something else. I mean, another.
Well, the same as blowing the whistle on fraud, for example, and not for profit.
Right.
Yeah,
well,
those
are
different things.
I mean, the guy that blew the whistle on the UBS. But, I mean, we have whistleblowers in our organization who have been national security whistleblowers, and they found their lives in tatters after the fact. So the problem is, and when you go to the press, I mean, I know it's very flip to say, well, just go to the press and the story would have been out. But when I was trying to go to the press and get the story out about what was happening in our organization, we couldn't get to the press. The people who got to the press were the people who ultimately destroyed the organization, which was not our interest at all. Ours was to redeem and rehabilitate it. Mm-hmm. So it's difficult to get to the press. I mean, you know, there are all of these barriers between you and getting your story out, and that's why whistleblowers always find it necessary to hire a publicist or someone, and we don't have the money for that, so our stories get twisted and manipulated in ways that are often harmful to the institutions that most whistleblowers are trying to save. They're not trying to destroy it. They're trying to save it. They went up through the channels within the organization and found there was no remedy there.
Agree with anybody that this seems a little self-aggrandizing? This guy went, you know, 3 days after he leaks the story, he's on TV talking about it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, because your real whistleblowers in the real world, those of us that are down in the trenches doing the work that tell you about the slime in the food, that tell you about the dirty water, that tell you about people taking your money and misdirecting it to their own pockets, those of us who do the work are not on TV in 3 days.
Yep, I hear you. All right, honey, sorry, I need a little more time with Peter. To me, it's like... The other thing is, like, this was the whistle being blown on something I think we kind of all knew about. You know what I mean? Like, this is the Patriot Act, right? I mean, this is whether you agree with it or not, right? All right. Not to, you know, again, be politically incorrect by talking to you about just everything gay. However.
It's all right. It's one of my favorite subjects.
You share our affection for Behind the Candelabra, the HBO movie. Did you hear this is the latest bombshell out of Hollywood? Liberace's lover, Scott Thorson, who Matt Damon played in the movie.
Yeah.
He claims he had a 6 or 7 year romance with Michael Jackson.
Wow.
Huh?
Oh. Wow. He likes him girly.
Who knows if this is true? He said, Liberace introduced me and Michael in the late 70s. It was right about the time Thriller was coming out and Michael and I became lovers. Our relationship went on for 6 or 7 years. Michael was very generous, too. He treated me very well. He added the three men healed together while they all recovered from plastic surgery.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God.
To be a fly on the wall.
That's a play for Off-Broadway next season. Liberace, Scott Thorson, and Michael Jackson all just bandaged up. Just
Oh, you look fabulous.
Thank you.
He said Liberace and I had both undergone plastic surgery around the same time. Michael underwent a nose job. We all healed together at the Liberace compound in Palm Springs.
Oh, my God. Wow.
That is the most fabulous, gayest thing I've ever
heard. Ever in a million billion years.
I need some more OxyContin.
I don't even know what to say to that. That's just beyond surreal.
Yeah. Right.
It was Bubbles sort of attending to them as a nurse. Right. What is that?
That sounds like one of those stories where you're not sure if it's true. Like, remember after 9/11, who got in the car? Marlon Brando, Michael Jackson, and Liza Minnelli?
Liz Taylor.
Because you couldn't fly.
Supposedly that's true.
Supposedly that's
true. I've heard that. Which just...
I think they would have needed a trailer for Brando.
Right. And they had to stop it.
Fat jokes are not politically correct.
I had to stop at like every fast food place and everything. Oh, Brando. Really?
Yeah. Marlon.
I love some pancakes.
Marlon.
How many Stuckies are there on this highway? We were just at the last In-N-Out.
Are south of the border? Aren't we still in the United States?
I've been to south of the border. Oh, God.
I've been south of the border, too.
Yeah.
If you're an East Coast kid, you can't help it.
That's right.
Road trip.
And the other weird story out of Hollywood is a Hollywood nobody sends rice and letters to President Obama. What? There's been a lot of news, so we missed this one.
The actress from The Walking Dead.
Yes.
Right.
Not the main actresses, Sarah Catley.
No,
she played
Who's My Friend?
Random zombie. Yeah, she had a small role on Walking Dead, whatever it is. But so she sent it, but she called the feds and blamed her husband.
Right. Oh, this is the greatest.
Next time, try writing a breakup letter.
Yeah, that's
try a Dear John tweet. Anything. That's a really bad way to break up with someone.
She just picked a really bad Newsweek. Really? She's like, what do I have to do to get publicity? I just sent rice into the president.
I'm sure her star meter went up, but
her TVQ
rating.
She was charged with sending rice and letters to President Obama and Mayor Bloomberg. Feds say they found rice and making materials in her home and a letter to Obama on her computer hard drive with the file name muslimbastard.doc.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Really?
Wow. That's muslimbastard.doc. Come on. Quit being a cliche.
This gets betterer. The actress confessed to mailing the envelopes claiming her Army vet husband had typed the bizarre gun-boosting letters and forced her to post them.
Sure.
Okay. Oh. All right.
So did he walk her to the mailbox and, put it in?
Rice and Roni, the right-wing whack job treat.
Is making rice in that easy? Can you just, do it? Do it. I don't know how.
Exactly. It doesn't matter how much you yell at me. I don't know how to make ricin. I'm sorry. You can scream at me all you want. I still don't know how to make ricin.
It involves castor beans. That's about all I know. I don't know what you do with them or how you cook them or
how many. What's the recipe?
I didn't even know there was such a thing as castor beans. I've never even heard of castor beans.
Castor beans. Well, that's where castor oil comes from.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, castor oil, which everybody thinks is good.
Right.
For you. But now it makes ricin.
Exactly.
Speaking of Hollywood actresses that may or may not be. Bruce Willis apparently so fed up with ex-wife Demi Moore that he is selling his mansion to get away from her.
Wow.
Story.
I blame the niblets in her hoo-ha.
Really? You think so? It's too much cream corn.
Okay.
It's my favorite movie line ever.
No chance that I am going to roll around naked in creamed corn with a bunch of drunken yahoos trying to stick niblets up my hoo-ha.
Best line
is
ever.
That from the stripper Mr. T's?
Can you please get that into the Fosters? I need to
see that. You'd be amazed. They're very brave.
And then just have someone wink to camera and go, love you, Steph.
We'll just name the character Stephanie.
There you go.
A character named Stephanie.
There you go.
No way. And I'm rolling around in a bunch of cream corn.
I don't know. This is the National Enquirer. It's in the paper, as I call the National Enquirer.
The source.
Yes.
Right? He lives just over 3 miles apart. He wants to put more distance between them. Bruce reached the breaking point when Demi failed to show up for their daughter Scout's graduation. The action hero attended the ceremony with his second wife and Scout's sisters, Rumor and Tallulah. I know the names. Who've also been at odds with her mom. She's like super cougar. I think that's what the problem is.
She's hot as all get out.
Right. Demi angered her eldest daughter reportedly by beginning a trial marriage with Rumor's ex-boyfriend, Harry Morton.
Oh, I remember that. Okay.
Yikes.
While trying to finalize her, dating your daughter's ex-boyfriend. No.
That's never a good idea.
No.
She allowed him to move into her Beverly Hills home. He's described as a Hollywood playboy. Demi has since moved on from Morton to a new boy toy, 30-year-old Australian pearl diver and yoga teacher Will Hannigan.
Pearl diver.
That's a euphemism for something.
Australian pearl diver. Now what I'm all about.
Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge.
We all went there. You can only find them in bearded clams.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's
all tied together. I mean, it really was very clear. Yes. But that was gross.
G'day. I'm an Australian pearl diver. You know what I mean?
That's hot. Okay.
So if you'll just remove your bikini bottom, I'll get to work.
Okay, Peter. Right. Line.
What? Peter. Line. Peter. All right. I shoved them
I
over.
Meant I will go to work while you take off your bikini bottom. All right. That's all I meant.
All right. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back with the remaining moments. And who knows what's next.
Who knows?
With Peter Page on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's fun for ages 8 to 80. Join us.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
All right. Okay. 49 minutes after the hour.
Is that Peter? Jenny on the block?
Oh, see, because Jennifer Lopez, also my friend co-producing.
And co-executive producer.
That's right. The Fosters on ABC Family, airing tonight at 9 p.m. on the
Central.
ABC Family. Okay.
Check your local listings, though.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, for sure. Or just set your DVR and be done with it.
Yeah.
But exactly. Watch the commercials, for the love of God.
Please.
Your results may vary.
Okay. By the way, Greg writes about the Rison actress. Will she be out of jail in time to play herself in a Lifetime movie?
I think Amanda Bynes is going to have to play her in the movie. Exactly. Yeah.
Hello, hold your calls. That's it.
Amanda Bynes. Poor thing. She's having a breakdown. Amanda Bynes, who, you know, said that the police slapped her vagina.
Right.
And then I love that the New York Police Department issued an actual statement where they actually said, we did not slap her vagina. That's what the world's come to now.
You have to.
You have to tell the crazy wig-wearing girl that you did not slap her vagina.
To be a fly on the wall in that police chief's office. What? Yeah. No. Okay.
Schmidt, get in here! Who did you slap her vagina? You're fired!
I did not.
It's the Daily Planet. A police office for some reason. I don't know why. That's where
Great
we went.
Great Caesar's ghost! You slapped her vagina! I do slap her vagina!
Mr. Space Lee works New York Police Department.
This is Perry White.
Okay,
the Daily Planet.
All right, well, we might have punched her in the... I don't remember, but... I'm certain. I did not. All right. Wow! So, we did some Michael Jackson news before the thing. I think it's important to keep up on the Jackson family feuds. Do you not, Peter Page? I think it's important. Janet apparently wants nothing to do with Michael's other siblings now, Jackie, Tito, Jermaine, Marlon, and Randy.
Well, conveniently, just when she crosses the billionaire line.
Right.
You know, she's a billionaire now.
Right.
Suddenly.
Which is actually, I have to say, pretty impressive.
Right.
You know? There aren't a lot of people who cross that line. And there are very few people of color cross that line.
That's true. Actually, that's very true. Right.
How long was that to the $40 billion to lose my number, Tito?
Exactly.
She changed her phone number so they cannot contact her. Apparently, Catherine, the mother, is the only one with access to her. Oh, and the government. But
Andrew Jackson isn't talking to them at all. Right.
But also, she just married a Saudi prince, and that billion-dollar number...
A historical humor from Jim.
She just married a Saudi prince, and that billion-dollar number doesn't even count his...
Oh, I bet she's got a bunch of
his wealth.
Andrew Jackson's in her purse now.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. That's amazing.
She married a Saudi prince.
That seems like a waste of a Saudi prince.
Isn't there a gay one? I know there's a gay Indian prince, but is there a gay Saudi prince?
Oh, there's got to be somewhere.
I need to get me some of that. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry, honey, I say to my boyfriend.
I find that Saudi prince could have gone to someone meatier.
Exactly. Like you.
Right? Yes. All right. I had not heard.
Stephen Abdul Ahmed.
I don't know if you've heard of this story, Peter, but it's very important. And there's an anti-Semitic Elmo attempting to extort the Girl Scouts on the loose. An Elmo street performer. Gawker brings us the story.
Hold on. Anti-Semitic Elmo.
Right.
Trying to extort...
The Girl Scouts.
I don't understand any of the pieces of this story.
An Elmo street performer known for spewing hate speech, shouting anti-Semitic diatribes, and generally terrorizing
small
children.
Where is this?
Amazing.
Dan Sandler, his name is Dan Sandler. He has been yanked back into a courtroom for allegedly attempting to extort $2 million from the Girl Scouts of America. He said he would disseminate false rumors about the Girl Scouts institution, namely that they made arranged sexual meetings between the underage scouts and adult men.
Oh my God.
He's going to call them little.
What is wrong with you when you're trying to extort the Girl Scouts? If you're going to extort somebody, extort the Boy Scouts, those homophobic dicks.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Whoops.
Not allowed to say that word.
Oh, whoops.
Richard.
Yeah. But that was very funny.
All right.
If you want to hear what he said, get the podcast. Yikes.
All right. And then I
love that there's a button. He had a button called that says dump.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. When I did something bad, he had a button that says dump.
Someday you're going to get the fart sound effect out
of
that.
You can't say take a but you can,
yeah.
Dunk button. There you go. By the way, so last we were talking about the Michelle Obama heckler. Did you see this, the LGBT activist?
I heard about it. I didn't see it.
Yeah, and I was saying, you don't heckle the first lady, period. And first of all, you're heckling the wrong person. This administration's done more on gay rights than all of the other ones combined, but I do get her point. She wrote a piece for the Washington Post. She said, as a gray-haired 56-year-old lesbian, I don't have time to wait another generation for equality. Being polite hasn't gotten us any closer to becoming a reality. But, you know, the point would be, is that, first of all, she's not an elected representative, so rudely heckling the first lady at a private home does not seem to be the best way to... your thoughts?
I have to agree. Although I hear the sentiment, you know, behind her statement. I understand that. We, you know, part of the reason that that the gay rights movement has been the most expeditious civil rights movement in the history of the world is because people got pissed off, people were dying, people started organizing and standing up and being willing to make some noise. So I hear that. That being said, it's Michelle Obama. Come on. Knock it off. And by the way, you know Michelle Obama just knock her right out.
Oh, absolutely.
Michelle Obama was just like, you can keep talking or I can punch you in the face. And with those arms, she'll take you down.
You don't take on a woman with those guns. You know what I'm saying? So obviously, the Supreme Court, we just heard, is not going to rule today on Prop 8, but likely this week, right?
Or next week.
Yeah.
They usually release their rulings on Mondays. And so, maybe next week.
What are you thinking? What are you feeling? What are you hoping?
My gut tells me that Prop 8 will be struck down. There's too many scenarios where Prop 8 falls. There's really only one scenario where it stays. There's like five where it falls for different reasons.
Right.
My gut tells me Prop 8 will fall, but not in such a way that we get national marriage, that it becomes a national win.
It's a narrow ruling, so we get it in California.
In California.
Yeah.
But by the way, that almost doubles the number of people who have access to same-sex marriage.
That's true.
In the country, just with that one ruling. So it's a big deal.
Yeah. No, that's right.
And
then
if DOMA falls, which I also think will happen, it really is the beginning of the end for discrimination. Because it'll be then federal marriages or state marriages, same-sex marriages will be recognized by the federal government, and then you get into, I got married in California, my marriage is recognized by the federal government, I moved to Mississippi. Well, my marriage is still recognized by the federal government, so we're going to have to work this all out.
Yeah, no, exactly. And Jim said there's only one thing we know for sure on the Supreme Court, and that is...
Oh, yeah. Clarence Thomas will say what he said.
Right.
Pointing
there
at Scalia.
There you go. Particularly on affirmative action.
That's always his opinion, no matter what he says. Jeez.
That guy. I'm not really sure.
I
mean, some important stuff up besides gay rights, affirmative action, voting rights, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. It'll be affirmative action. That'll be an interesting case, too. I mean, I have a feeling that one may fall, I'm not sure that we're quite ready for that.
Well, Jeffrey Toobin was telling us last week that he thinks it's John Roberts' goal to undo the Civil Rights Act.
And Elena Kagan has to recuse herself on that one, so that's what makes that a little scary. Voting rights, I love this one. The Supreme Court set to rule, of course, on the key provision in the most important civil rights law in the country, passed in 1965, the Voting Rights Act, outlawed discriminatory voting practices such as literacy tests, poll taxes designed to disenfranchise African Americans. You have to hand it to Republicans. They've found really new and unique ways to do that.
It's impressive.
Since then.
It's impressive, yeah.
So when Congress, just so people know what this was, when they renewed the law for another 25 years in 2006, counties in North Carolina and Alabama filed suit saying special oversight was no longer needed. I love this. Chief Justice Roberts asked, is it the government's submission that citizens in the South are more racist than citizens in the North? I would say yes.
Compute, don't you?
Yes. Yes.
Although, I mean, I will say this. I've lived all over this country, all over this beautiful, great country that we call home. And I'm not sure that Birmingham was any more racist than Boston.
Really?
Really. I'm just going to say it. Boston I found to be one of the most racist cities I ever lived in.
Southeast.
It's just a hotbed.
Yeah, right. I think you're right there.
Lucky for you, you're out of time because you have insulted pretty much everyone in every city. In I hope you're proud of yourself, Peter Page.
I love America. I love Boston. I love Birmingham.
Yes.
So.
Boston viewership.
I just don't love
Mike
racism.
Mike drop tonight. ABC Families, The Fosters on at 9 p.m. and 8 p.m. Central. Love you.
Thanks so much for having me, guys.
Peter Page. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.